during these earth-changing events, I saw thousands and thousands of luminous oval, shaped objects that were glowing from within, coming out from under the ground, all over that part of Mexico and around the volcano. They were floating upwards, like bubbles coming up from the bottom of the ocean, going up to the surface. Envision thousands of them going up, in columns, into the sky and fanning out. It was beautiful. The population of the Earth, as I saw it, was greatly reduced. It was a fraction of what it is today. How small a fraction, I don't know. And those who were left here had learned an extraordinary lesson. The lesson will be learned. The question is, how serious must events get for people on this planet to learn that lesson? Up to now, neither World War I nor World War II nor Hiroshima nor 9/11 nor the specter of environmental collapse have changed the perversity of our collective being, have ya? But no matter what happens, on the far side of these changes, whether they are this severe or something less severe, those left will have learned a serious lesson, and quite frankly will be chastened and will vow to put down the means of war, and will use these wondrous new sciences and technologies, permanently, only for peaceful purposes. That lesson will be learned never to have to be learned again, so deeply will the lesson be ingrained in the psyche of all the inhabitants of the Earth. Now, we could learn that lesson without going through such a traumatic change, except humans tend to be very stubborn and very refractory to enlightened change unless we are compelled to make that change. We have chosen so far not to take the lesser events to heart and make the changes, and therefore, as the Native American peoples would say, we are in the time of changes, and the time of what they call the Great Purification. These events I am describing will be not only man-made chaos and catastrophe, but natural catastrophic events. They will purify the minds and hearts of men through the fire of these tests so that they will vow never to do the destructive things we have been doing. We will learn not to blow each other up because of a difference in religion or a difference in race or a difference in ideology or what have you, all the silly nonsense that have been the bane of human civilizations for thousands of years. We will retire that thinking, and it will be a permanent change. Then, Phoenix, like, out of the ashes, we will quickly reconstitute an advanced civilization on this planet that will be permanently peaceful. We will have the ability to apply all these wondrous technologies that are already on the planet. Everything that is needed has been vouchsafed to the human race and is here. Everything that's needed for the next 500,000 years is actually already here. That is the really good news. That is why peace and enlightenment go together. In the early decades after the phase transition, civilization on Earth will be reformed, rebuilt, and transformed around peaceful, non-violent pursuits. Mind-numbing and debasing poverty and illness is not a milieu in which significant numbers of people can grow and become enlightened. As we re-establish civilization with these new technologies, over the next 100 years or so, there will be a permanent peace, the elimination of poverty and growing abundance on Earth. As these technologies are applied for peaceful purposes, and every nation and people on Earth have vowed to absolutely crush any attempt to weaponize them, we will see a flowering of humanity unlike any time in Earth's history. Every village and every community will have the means to create pollution-free energy that is unlimited for manufacturing, clean water, transportation, the ability to grow organic natural food, etc. Imagine, you can be anywhere in the world, and have all you need, at very little cost. With no cost for energy, you could have all the light and controlled temperature you want in any climate, and grow any type of food needed, under computerized, automated conditions. This technology exists today. There will be abundant food of the highest quality without petrochemicals, fertilizers and pesticides for everyone. If you look at foods today, their growth, and their delivery, is an enormously petrochemical-heavy process. So free energy is the key. The Earth, being 2/3 covered with water, has plenty of water, if you can desalinate it. Well, you can't desalinate it unless you have the energy systems to do it. When energy is free and abundant, this will be possible. Manufacturing will be abundant, clean, and very inexpensive. The biggest expense related to the total cost of manufacturing anything we have is the energy that goes into acquiring the raw material, transporting it, fabricating it, packaging it and shipping it to you. It is mostly energy related. What happens when the energy component of that becomes zero? It is a whole new world of abundance and pollution, free sustain, ability in harmony with nature. Because of these advances technologically, the work week will shrink to between 15 and 25 hours, mostly out of choice, and the rest of people's time will be spent in the pursuit of creativity, recreation, learning and other positive pursuits. The economics of the transformative effect of these technologies will be such that there will be no need to work 40, 60 hours a week. In fact, doing so would be socially harmful. People will then be able to discover their dharma, their calling, for what they can contribute that is most consonant with their God-given skills and their innate capabilities and talent, as opposed to a survival level of subsistence out of necessity. Thus, a civilization where people can pursue higher states of consciousness and enlightenment, will at last be possible. The era of big urban, suburban areas will be over. Earth will be a globe of villages. Why? Because if you can go from Phoenix to Paris in 3 or 4 minutes, there will be no need to aggregate in these very dense, sprawling cities. Some people will choose to live in larger communities, but there will be no economic necessity for huge metropolises. Transport will be rapid, above ground and efficient, using ARV technologies. Such travel above ground with anti-gravity systems will allow for the most remote places on Earth to be fully inhabitable, with little environmental impact. In one lucid dream, I saw that the latitude of where Chicago is now will be subtropical with palm trees. What is now the Arctic and Canada will be very livable and a comfortable climate. The climate of the Earth will be much warmer overall. But remember, it is likely large scale geophysical changes will have occurred. With these new free energy technologies, 100% recycling will be feasible, including for water. Water can be trapped and recycled, rather than being spoiled and just dumped into waterways underground. I am speaking now of technologies which are extant, not ones that have to be invented. I remember Archibald MacLeish saying back in the 70s that we already had the technologies to scrub to zero effluent every bit of manufacturing pollution. But the amount of energy that it would take to scrub all pollution out, given the fact that we're using fossil fuels to create the energy, quickly reaches a point of diminishing returns. Now, I am talking about the early decades of the first 100 or couple of 100 years. Looking beyond that, the sciences I alluded to in the cosmology will allow for the manifestation of any item or any commodity out of the fabric of space around us. That technology actually exists already. So what material need would there be that couldn't be met? There isn't one. And this is the big message. There would be no material need unmet. And in that state, the human condition can begin to blossom from one of need and fear to a state of repose, and move on to higher spiritual pursuits. Also, shelter will be altered tremendously. Think about the fact that if you have anti-gravity capabilities, building materials can be moved into place just like the pyramids were built. You can have buildings that are made out of whatever materials are least harmful to the earth. Technologies would exist so that many of the chemicals that are used now won't be necessary. Heating and cooling, since the energy is free, would not require structures that are chemically toxic and sealed up in unhealthy ways. Housing will actually be much less expensive and the means to build them will be radically altered because of these technologies. The architecture of these buildings will be very different. One of the things I want to do as soon as we acquire an operational over, Unity, free energy device is to build a demonstration house in the high desert of Colorado in Crestone, where it gets 20 below in the winter, but gets 80, 90 degrees with blazing sun in the summer. When you look at the ancient peoples, you see they lived together closely in villages, preserving the surrounding land for agriculture, recreation or just being natural. Humans, being social animals, will choose to live in such villages in the future, in a way that is high, tech self, Sufi, Sient. Today, we live in a way that is like a metastatic cancer, an urban city, with a hideous sprawl of McMansions and cookie-cutter suburbs. Psychologically, people are happier if they are living in a more intensive village setting, with neighbors and friends and the ability to walk or bike to commercial and social venues. Right now, we are gobbling up all the natural beauty and paving it over, turning it into strip malls, McMansions and suburbs. Right now we have to build so that the house or building is wired. But the future of manufacturing will be that everything that needs power will have a free energy source within it. There will be no need to have wiring in a house, everything will be wireless. Thus, the cost and complexity of building will be greatly reduced. Construction will be simpler, cleaner, and more natural, less expensive, and more beautiful. So this is how we will rebuild the earth, with this consciousness and these new technologies. On that foundation, a civilization that is at peace and abundant, and where humans are freed to pursue more enlightened activity will thrive. It will be a totally altered economic order, manufacturing structure, and industrial structure. In the aftermath of all this change, there will be a single global currency, there will be national boundaries, but they will be less and less important. In medicine, most of the problems that we're struggling with now are lifestyle related. How one eats, lives and exercises determines at least 90% of your health. Genetics are important, but even given those parameters, how one lives is very determinative. Having a physical body, there will always be things that happen, whether it is from genetics or from accident, or choosing a bad diet. These advanced electromagnetic technologies can be configured as sophisticated electromagnetic healing and diagnostic systems. In classified projects, technologies exist that would enable people to completely regenerate limbs or an injured spinal cord. Those exist now. But if they let them out, they would also let out the secret of these free energy systems, because it is the same basic area of physics. But in the future, when this new physics is known, we will also have a new medicine. Diseases that appear now to be incurable, ranging from cancer to AIDS to other infectious diseases, even severe injuries, will be curable. Right now, we live in a very corrupt world where the decision as to whether or not something is told to the public is part of a large medi-business system. It has more to do with whether a $100 million drug company investment will get an adequate pay off or not. It has very little to do with health, or the truth. It has to do with money and the abuse of power. Scientific healing will be vastly more evolved than what we have today, because we will add to it the knowledge of these new electromagnetic systems and sciences that have been kept secret. Right now, in the United States, we spend an enormous amount of money on a medical system that is very ineffective for many of the conditions and diseases that people confront. That will change. In the future, medicine will be both high tech and more holistic at the same time. The natural genetic encoded lifespan of a human being is around 120 years. In the future, people will be living very healthy lives up to 110, 115, 120 years. There is a time to be born, there is a time to live, and there is a time to let go, and drop the body. There is no need to live forever in a physical body. Life on Earth is precious, but so is life in the astral worlds of light. Once we understand the beauty of the afterlife, we will be less anxious about leaving this one. Even in this regard, I think medicine will change. We spend an enormous percentage of our healthcare funding on the last 60 days of life, often doing inhumane things to stave off the inevitable. In the future, more emphasis will be on having a good life, and a good death, at home, in peace, surrounded by loved ones, not machines. There is a certain spiritual grace and wisdom to knowing when to let go and move on. I believe this spiritual wisdom will parallel the medical sciences. So we will optimize the natural lifespan of humans, meaning a high quality of life will exist into old age. Right now, we compartmentalize science and spirituality, when really a skilled physician should also be a very spiritual being. We will have people who are skilled in the healing arts, who are also spiritually aware and will be able to help people make this transition when it is inevitable. The passage from this material plane into the worlds of light and consciousness will be very much like what Shari had. It is beautiful. Each person who passes to the other side should have the spiritual assistance so that he or she ascends to the highest level possible, according to their own state of consciousness and life path. As genuine spirituality grows, the desperate clinging to the last few seconds of life, at enormous expense and suffering, will change to a more compassionate transition. The more we become materialistic and less spiritual, the more we become neurotically unable to enjoy either life or its passing. In the future, this level of abundance will allow us to optimize not only medicine and healing but also the education of every child. We will learn how to truly educate, and it will begin at an early age. Certain meditative and spiritual techniques unlock enormous potential and will be taught at 4-6 years of age. Over time, there will be an enormous growth in the mean IQ, which is now not optimized at all. In the undeveloped world, poverty and malnutrition greatly stunts the mental and physical growth of children. With the elimination of poverty, impossible without these new technologies, the minds of these children will also blossom. In the developed and developing world, there is much chemical and toxic poisoning, heavy metals, lead paint, air pollution. These will also be eliminated. Divorce rates are over 50%. The majority of children in some minority groups have no fathers in the home. This is truly a spiritual problem in my opinion. I think that people will begin to view family differently, as an eternal commitment. People may say that I sound like a very conservative person in this regard. It is not a conservative versus liberal issue. It is looking at it from a spiritual point of view. When people decide to bring children into this world, that should be a permanent commitment. Every child should be a planned and wanted child. So we will have universally available birth control, and couples will have children when they are ready for the spiritual, material and social responsibility to care for another human soul. I think this will become an increasingly common value. Now, I will also say that I think it will be increasingly common that people are loving and tolerant of situations that don't work out, so there will be an extended sense of support around people and their children when bad things do happen, if they are orphaned, or if they split up. And while I don't think it should be forbidden to divorce, it will be very rare. The selfishness involved will diminish, because selfishness is usually what drives these problems. The focus should be on the welfare, love and rearing of the children. People will learn to find mates that they are maturely connected to and then really commit, and then have children. Children should have the parents and extended family to support them and provide the love and the discipline needed. Every child will be seen as a sacred trust, to protect, nurture and raise towards enlightenment. Right now, we do not have a culture that values that, and we certainly don't have a social and economic order that even facilitates it, because of the mind, numbing poverty and the disintegration of families. Once you have joined and brought a child into this world, whether you know it, or like it, or not, an eternal bond is created. Even after you pass on to the other world, you are with your family and you will have your children near you, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. There is an unbroken line and those individual souls, they are part of creation, go on eternally, through all the states of evolution and enlightenment. People will grow in their understanding of what an extraordinary event it is to bring a soul into this world, to create a conscious life. Once people understand that, they will also understand the sacred obligation of it, and have the patience to work through life's difficulties. I am a big advocate of people acknowledging and being tolerant of people who are gay and lesbian, because I'm quite certain it is a natural variant of human existence which is present at the time of birth. The kind of wholesale bigotry that is attached to gender and sexuality will be a thing of the past. It is already, unless you are part of the immoral minority who really do believe gays, lesbians and feminists caused 9/11. The moral questions of our day have nothing to do with those issues whatsoever, It is a distraction from the real moral questions that should concern us. All the technologies are here already. We have the knowledge to do it. And there are enough wise people on this planet to do it. So why hasn't it happened? The structures and institutions around religion today are going to be greatly transformed and, for the most part, swept away. Remember that the evolution of a priesthood, rabbis, priests, reverends, mullahs, etc., occurred because very few people could read. But in a time of universal education, there will be no illiteracy. Even today, most of the people can read and write. Thus, the need to have a centralized priesthood will end. This need is actually over already. We haven't needed it for 150 years. In the near future, every person will arise to the responsibility of independently seeking the truth, reading, studying, meditating and praying for their own spiritual development. There will be spiritual teachers, but not people who are elevated to the point of being the reverend, or the rabbi or the imam, or for that matter the Dalai Lama. These religious structures have served a good purpose in the past, at times, but have been co-opted by men for the abuse of power and to amass power and control. This dynamic has nothing to do with the purpose of any religion on earth, any religion, or any of the founders of any religion on earth. If one wants to identify as a Christian or Jew or Buddhist or what have you, that will be fine. But the clergy will be replaced by lay people, sharing. Societies will evolve round seeking spiritual truth and experiencing spiritual reality, and looking to the teachings of the entire knowledge of spiritual teachers, of all the spiritual teachers. They will assemble in councils and assemblies where there will be no central priest or reverend in that community. But they will rotate or take turns and share as a group. Certainly people of greater capacity or experience might teach or share with others. This will always be the case. We will always have teachers. But the idea that there will be a paid professional priesthood, the time for that is over. It is over because it has been abused, and because humans have the capacity now to read, and to investigate truth on their own. It is actually very corrupting to have some other person interpret for you the meaning of truth. We can share our truth with one another, but ultimately we make the truth our own, in our own way. It is spiritually infantilizing to have a priest do those things for you. There is an abdication of our spiritual responsibility for ourselves that goes along with that kind of relationship. People need to take spiritual responsibility for their own evolution. Now, this doesn't mean that there won't be spiritual communities or spiritual organizations or religions. But they will be greatly changed, because if they are genuinely pursuing enlightenment and spirituality, as opposed to amassing power and controlling people, they will be looking to empower everyone spiritually. This area of human life will focus on the experience of spiritual evolution and the genuine understanding of the divine and the sacred. The things that today pass as big religious issues will be changed and refocused to the actual purpose that all of the great prophets, avatars and spiritual teachers came here to give us, the knowledge of the existence of a divine being, and the ability for people to pray to and meditate within this divinity and realize that in their lives. The corruption of religion is intimately related to both the masses giving up their spiritual power and the priesthood that is prone to abusing power. And no matter how many fine people there may be in the priesthood, there are always those who go into a demagogic mode, who can then affect weaker minds and bring them under their control, whether it is Jim Jones or someone who is trying to induce a jihad or inquisition. This kind of fanaticism and thinking will be exposed for what it is, and retired, just like the thinking about nationalities or ideologies requiring massive warfare and destruction will be retired. And it will be retired permanently. Transformed, truth-seeking religious groups will have a deep and abiding respect for others. People will discover as time goes on that truth is one, and the religious differences are unimportant or based on falsehood, misinterpretations or perversions of the original spiritual teachings. We will eventually evolve a universal spirituality. People are simply not going to be able to hold on to the chauvinism of this sect versus that sect if they are awake. Because if they are awake, They are going to realize that there is really no difference at all, that the light is the same in every lantern, no matter what the lantern may have been externally, whether it was Buddha or Krishna or Christ or Muhammad or any other manifestation of divinity. People will start searching for that light, and they are not going to be separated by hatred and divisions due to the form of the lantern. My understanding of what happens at the time of the separation of the spirit body and soul from the physical body, what people call death, is that there is a seamless continuity of awareness. This is what I experienced, and this is what I also know from other people who have had a near-death experience. There is a continuity of your individuality. You have all your memories, all your knowledge. But you are suddenly freed. It is like a bird leaving a cage. The vast cosmos that is the astral realm, the worlds of lights and beyond, is your new home. You ascend to a level that is commensurate with the state of your evolution and consciousness reached on Earth. And you openly consort with loved ones and friends that you have connected with on Earth. In that spirit form, you continue to grow and evolve through every level of the cosmology, into greater and greater realization of the astral worlds. One can say it is heaven, these beautiful worlds of knowledge and light. You continue on that path forever, until you choose, from enlightenment, to merge with the ocean. And yet you always exist, time is an illusion. The drop of your individuality can merge with the ocean of the unbounded divine mind, and yet you can also continue as an individual, with work in that realm. The individuality that is this unique creation, that is you, does not get destroyed. The awake being within everything is a singularity, and always has been, and always will be. But your individual soul exists eternally as well. We are all part of what God created. Our individual awareness will continue until such time as the drop is joined with the ocean, and you choose, by choice, to remain there, or not. There is a beautiful continuity that takes place. Your children, your loved ones, your ancestors, your parents, you will see them. You will know them. And they will welcome you. You will see others and will associate with those souls that are at a level of capacity and knowledge and consciousness that you have reached. One of the key things to remember at the moment of passing: forget all that you have known. Let go, and go into that most great light. We don't have any idea how high a station we may reach at that moment, but I can tell you this: the best possible outcome requires being as detached as possible from everything you know, everything you have done, everything you think you are, and allow yourself to just completely be immersed in that most great light, that divine light. What holds people back as they transition from this plane to the next, are their attachments. Whether it be material, egotistical or what they think they know. So the condition of detachment and purity, and their willingness to completely put one's self into that divine light, takes you to the highest possible state of existence. What is the difference between achieving those states after death and achieving God consciousness, unity consciousness, in a meditative state in this life? It depends on the level of consciousness you attain here. It is possible to have experiences and be in a state even on Earth that is as high and as extraordinary as anything that can be attained through billions of years of evolution after you leave your body. On the other hand, for most people, being freed from the body, there is enormous joy, freedom, bliss and new abilities that appear. Within one's own mind, one can manifest everything, just as you can now visualize a castle. That castle is real in that realm. There are no limitations whatsoever. Now, of course, there are people who have been on this planet who can see something and actually manifest it. While this is unusual, it has happened. But in the astral and causal realm of thought, this is easily done. Now, the flip side of that is because of the condition of having the physical body, and the suffering that's attached to it, one is propelled to more quickly attain states of spiritual freedom and enlightenment. Being on Earth creates opportunities for rapid evolution. This is why life on Earth is precious. The ability to reach enlightenment and to attain very high states of consciousness, and to grow as a soul, is much more concentrated on Earth than any other phase of existence. That is the mystery of the material universe. That is why there is the material universe. That is why there is the physical body. And that is why there is the suffering attendant thereto. Being in the body creates an enormous opportunity to evolve into extraordinary states fairly quickly.